Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Cúnamh McGann. Cúnamh has just brought out a brilliant new book called Everything is Manawesome, 365 Days of Celebrating Irish Women. And it's exactly that. It's a book celebrating the achievements of Irish women for every single day of the year. Cúnamh, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I love the concept of the book. Like I was saying to her before we came on air here, pocket size, if you can call it that, but it is lovely. It's a lovely size. You could fit it in, you know what I mean, your handbag.
Exactly, a nice little chunky size. I wanted it very much to be something you could pick up and put down and dip into, and you can read it cover to cover if you like, and you can also fit it in stockings, let's not forget.
There you go, the stocking filler's lovely there. Why did you write it?
I suppose over the years I'd heard stories of these sort of amazing Irish women, and lots of the women in the book are total icons. You know, Sinéad O'Connor, Mary Robinson, all of those women are in there as well. But I also wanted to sort of bring together snippets of stories about women who a lot of people haven't heard of, who did amazing things and probably haven't gotten the recognition they deserve.
Well, there's a lot of women in this book, so let's actually talk about a few. And let's actually start with maybe a few that people mightn't be aware of. Mary Maloney. She's one of your favourites.
She's absolutely one of my favourites.
Tell us about her.
So in 1908, Winston Churchill, who was really only grudgingly in favour of giving women the vote at all. So the suffragettes were in full flight at that stage. And he made very disparaging remarks about the suffragette movement. And Mary Maloney took great exception. She was an Irish suffragette who'd moved over to England. And she followed him around for a week during a by-election in Dundee. And every time he tried to speak, she would ring this giant handbell. Dong. Dong, dong. And eventually he just had to stop talking, and she followed him around for an entire week. Can you imagine? It's the kind of thing you'd love to do with Trump, isn't it? Just to drown them out. She said, who is stronger, an Irish woman or Winston Churchill?
Well, we know the answer to that. Next off, Lillian Bland.
Yeah, Lillian Bland is amazing. She's the first woman in the world to design, build and pilot a plane. And this was in 1910.
Extraordinary.
And she basically put this plane together on a wing and a prayer. The fuel tank was an old whiskey bottle. The fuel funnel was her aunt's ear trumpet, and she called it the Mayfly because it may fly or it may not fly. And her father was begging her to stay on the ground. He thought it was a crazy thing to do, but she flew for about a quarter of a mile, 30 feet off the ground, and she was just one of those wonderfully unconventional women. She refused to ride side saddle on horses, and a Tipperary priest actually called on a crowd to stone her because she was so unorthodox.
Remember, she wore breeches as well, didn't she?
She wore breeches,
yes. I remember reading that before. Another woman that caught my eye, Carmel Snow.
Oh, she is just amazing. So she was the editor of Harper's Bazaar magazine in New York from the 1930s to the 1950s. And she was just a force to be reckoned with. She really was. So the head of the magazine was William Randolph Hearst at the time. And he sent out a decree saying that there were no African Americans to be included in the magazine. And she said, to hell with that. And she featured Marian Anderson, who is an African American singer. And he got so exasperated with her constantly thwarting him that he sent a memo out, and it said, does anybody know how to control Mrs. Snow? I know I don't.
I love that. Now, there's lots of great entertainment stories in there too. I mean, who could forget our first Eurovision win? In 1970.
Oh, Dana. I mean, she really was a trailblazer, you know. And when you look at, actually, if you look at the footage of her singing,
she was 18 years old.
She was just 18, and she was wearing that lovely little white dress, and she was so sweet and wholesome. And yet, she was so self-possessed and so confident. She really was. She was she was kind of amazing for the time. And of course, she started Ireland on the Eurovision road with winner after winner after. And she actually went on to sell 2 million copies of all kinds of everything.
That's mad. Well, actually, we have a clip to listen to that iconic winning song.
Snowdrops and daffodils, butterflies and bees, sailboats and fishermen, things of the sea, wishing wells, wedding bells, early morning dew.
I always remember my dad singing that. I can still picture seeing the clips of her swaying.
Yes.
Really an absolute icon. Now, staying with entertainment, proud Oscar winner from 1990 features too, of course. One of, I love this woman.
Brenda Fricker. She's just, she was so amazing. And the first Irish woman to win an acting Oscar in 1990. And she actually started off, would you believe, with a part as a nurse in Coronation Street. That's where her acting career started. And then, of course, she was famous in Casualty. Mm-hmm. And in 1990, the Oscars came knocking because that was the year of My Left Foot. And it was so huge. And Daniel Day-Lewis was there as well. And she was kind of renowned for her down to earth attitude. And it was rumoured that the Oscar held her bathroom door open. When she gave her speech on the night, she dedicated the Oscar to Bridget Fagan Brown, Christy Brown's mother, because she said that any woman who gives birth 22 times deserves an Oscar. And I, for one, second that.
Well, we have a clip of that Oscar winning speech.
The Oscar goes to Brenda Fricker in My Left Foot.
I don't believe this. And I'd like to thank every single member of the crew who worked on My Left Foot, who created an atmosphere of fun and love and hard work. I'd like to thank Christy Brown just for being alive. I'd like to thank Mrs. Brown, his mother. Anybody who gives birth 22 times deserves one of these, I think. And the members of the Academy for giving me this, which I will take very proudly with me back to Ireland. Thank you.
Another iconic woman is next now, immortalised in Money. Queen Maeve.
I know. And do you know, even when I was growing up, so there's the new £1 note was introduced in 1977. So that was the old big green £1 mm-hmm. note. So if you're of my vintage, you might have opened up a birthday card and one of these might have fallen out from the aunties and the uncles and the grannies. But I didn't realise at the time it was Queen Maeve of Connacht, because she looked quite she's wearing a shawl. She doesn't look very glitzy and glammy. Mm-hmm. But Queen Maeve, Queen Maeve of Connacht was first mentioned in Ohm's inscriptions on caves in the 4th and 5th century.
Oh, wow.
And she was quite the force to be reckoned with, and to become the king of Connacht, you had to marry her. She mm-hmm. did a bit of a Liz Taylor and she married 5 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fair play to her.
Who has the time?
Absolutely. Now, there's a thing I want to get to. Tell me about the first all-woman Aer Lingus flight crew.
Yeah, so this was in 1988. So Captain Gráinne Cronin was the captain and Elaine Egan was the co-pilot. And that was the first all-female crew. And Gráinne Cronin had actually become Aer Lingus's first woman pilot 10 years before that in 1978. And she trained over in England. And in fact, her father was a pilot. She married a pilot and they have 2 pilot daughters. So it was definitely in
family.
The blood.
Yeah.
But at the time, Aer Lingus were only the second airline in the world to appoint a female pilot. At the moment, the stats are about 10 or 11% of Aer Lingus pilots are women. So there's still a bit of improvement there. It's been a bit sluggish since the 80s.
We need to up that if we can. Indeed. See, there you go. Maybe there's people out there not knowing what they want to do in life. Maybe pilot girls, maybe that's what you want to do. Lots of pioneering women feature as well, including, of course, our own Vicky Phelan.
Oh, and so, I mean, amazing. And that's what I wanted to kind of include in this book, just people who found, there, as well as people who kind of strode out and found something mm-hmm. to campaign or to champion, there were people like Vicky Phelan who found themselves in the most horrible of circumstances. And not only did they stand up for themselves, but they stood up for all women and all, you know, they made society better. And that's what Vicky Phelan did. You know, she was diagnosed in 2014. She campaigned and campaigned so that she got an apology from the state. She campaigned for the HPV vaccine. She campaigned for access to drugs. She was just extraordinary. And when after she died, tragically too young in 2022, President Michael Dee said that she was committed to the public good and to the rights of others. And I think that's exactly right.
And it was. And for the future, you're thinking about other people's future.
Exactly.
It's so extraordinarily brilliant. And when she was going through so much herself, from one amazing woman to another on the radio this time, Women Today. It was a pioneering radio show in the late 1970s.
In 1979. So Women Today was the first radio programme that was aimed at women, presented by women, produced by women, and Marion Finucane was the presenter there. And if you think about that, in 1979, quite extraordinary. It was called Women's Affairs back then. That's the kind of subject matter. And Marion Finucane came from a career in architecture and became a continuity announcer in RTE. And then she went on to present Women Today. And then, of course, Live Line and the Marion Finucane Show. And she had such gravitas and yet such warmth. She was just a brilliant presenter and interviewer.
Well, actually, We do have a clip here from Women Today with Marion. Have a listen.
Hello, a very good afternoon to you and welcome to another edition of Women Today. So now straight into today's programme, which is part one of a two-part programme on sex education. This is an area which, if neglected, seems to cause terrible problems in later life, sadness, confusion, frustration and indeed a lot of unhappiness. GPs, priests and social workers can give long lists of sad cases of monumental ignorance, a very strange phenomenon, you might think, in view of what's called the permissive society and indeed the very explicit kind of detail, not to mention innuendo, in films and on television.
What an inspiration she is. Now, because Marion mentioned sex, let's talk about underwear on the Abbey stage.
So in 1907, it was the premiere of J.M. Sings, the Playboy of the Western World. I actually ended up studying that one for my Leaving Cert. So this one, I remember our teacher telling us about this riot and we couldn't work it out at all. So in the play was going along fine, but then they mention a shift, which was kind of like an undergarment, like a slip.
Well, shift now means something different.
It does indeed. So the shift, the lady's undergarment was mentioned and the crowd went wild. They actually rioted. And the Irish Independent applauded them for their good taste in not putting up with that kind of filth. Can you imagine what they would have made of the vagina monologues?
Oh my God, we've come a long way. Now, one of our best loved writers as well features Maeve Binchy. Oh. Quintance for me, that book when I've read it multiple times. 17 novels.
Seven. And you know what? She is absolutely a person that we can call a national treasure.
Yeah.
She was just wonderful. So 17 novels, starting off with Light a Penny Candle. And she was just, she said once that she was called a quiet feminist and she loved that idea and she wanted to put it on the cover of every book. She said that, and she was, her characters, like her books were centred around women, was all about the development of women's characters. And she said that she liked to take ugly ducklings and not turn them into swans, but turn them into confident ducks, which I love.
Well, actually, we have a lovely clip here of Maeve Binchy talking to Miles Dungan about starting college in Dublin.
I was nervous that day. I think every time I come up Earlsford Terrace, I think of that day of getting out. It's so strange, getting out at the station that we then called Westland Row, which is now Pierce Station, and coming into what we then called UCD, which is now the National Concert Hall. And everything has changed so much. But I can, that feeling of that day is still the same. Will I be all right? Will it be like, will going to university be like going to a dance? Or is it like a beauty competition where the race is going to be to the petite and the pretty? And I'm going to have an awful time. And you know, about 2 days, I discovered the blinding truth that fellas were like the rest of us. I mean, they were kind of normal. And they just, you could have chats with them. And you'd have beans and toast with them and chips in the cafe. And you'd talk about the subjects you were doing and the match you'd be going to. And I had glorious 4 years here. I did a H-dip as well to be a teacher. And I was very happy.
A woman after my own heart, beans and toast. I have so many women on my list, but we've run out of time. My producer would be tearing his hair out. That's just the tip of the iceberg of all the women. Everything is Manawesome. 365 Days of Celebrating Irish Women by Cúnamh McGann in all good bookstores. Now, she said, good stocking filler. Thank you so much for coming
in
and
so
chatting
much.
With us. What a brilliant, brilliant book. Live music is next.